So yesterday we did the introduction to the surah in terms of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his state and especially his last words, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرْ فِيهَا, destruction and warning to those who read it and don't think about these verses. And in addition, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of his sunnah was that he used to read this when he used to wake up. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. Verse number 119 of Surah Al-Imran. So first we'll just do a word for translation and then we'll get into some explanation afterwards inshallah. So our students can translate inshallah. Your students in there? Is our students in there? Verily indeed, في خلق السماوات. بسم الله. Brothers, you're on display now. في خلق السماوات. في حرف جر. في in خلق السماوات. Indeed, verily in the creation of the السماوات, the heavens. والأرض and the earth. واختلاف الليل. اختلاف؟ Okay, if you were a really good student, you would realize that the bottom is the English is there. So you don't have to be so confused. Okay. Inna, indeed, verily, certainly, fi khalq as-samawat, in the khalq, in the creations of as-samawat, of the heavens, wal ardi, and the earth, wa ikhtilaf al-layl, and the ikhtilaf. Now, ikhtilaf, people differ. So differing of the night, or the alternating of the night, wal nahar, and the day. In other words, the day comes, and the night comes, and the day comes, and the night comes. Allah says in these things, La, Allah is there for emphasis, there is definitely, certainly, undoubtedly, ayat in it. There are definitely ayat, signs. Li, for, ulil albab. Uli means the possessors of albab. Albab will just say understanding for now. So it's a basic translation of the verse. And I think that the objective here is just to maybe get into some deeper thought about the verse, because that's what the calling of the Prophet is to take the verse and to think about it. So the first thing we start with the inna. Inna. So the students will know when to use inna. When to use inna. Inna means indeed, verily. Would it be correct for me to say, verily I am sitting? Indeed I am sitting. Would you say that? It would be very strange for me to say, indeed I am sitting. Why? Because it's quite obvious that I'm sitting. So for inna, you don't, inna is there to emphasize verily, indeed, certainly, undoubtedly. You never emphasize obvious stuff. Make sense? You don't say, certainly I'm a man. It's like obvious. You don't emphasize obvious stuff. You emphasize stuff that's not obvious. Or people forget. You understand? You'll say like, Allah, he actually went there. Because maybe you doubted that he went there. So you'll emphasize things that people forget. So whenever you see inna in the Quran, it is something that either people dispute, they dispute this thing, or they don't know it, or they tend to forget it. And the inna is there what they call for izalatu shak, is there to remove any doubt. Have no doubt. That feed in khalqis samawati wal ard, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, wa ikhtilaf al-layli wal nahar. How many things Allah mentioned here? Khalqis samawati, number one. Wal ard, number two. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, wa ikhtilaf al-layli wal nahar, three. The alternative night and day, Allah mentioned three things. Is there a similar ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah? Surah Al-Baqarah, we have offered. It's not the same way. Bismillah, who wants to? Okay, Bismillah. There is. Then Surah Al-Baqarah. This ayah in Raya, the previous surah. It's very similar surah, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ واختلاف الليل والنهار والفلك التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس وما انزل الله من السماء من ماء فاخرج به من الثمرات there's another very similar beginning that mentions a number of ayat, 5, 6, 7 ayat. In here Allah is mentioning three ayat. Then Allah is saying that these three things are ayat. La, they are certainly ayat. So, what is an ayat? A sign. So, what is a sign? What is a sign? Like, if, for example, if you drive here and it says, Stichman road this way, it tells you, it's pointing you somewhere. An ayah is something which points, indicates towards something. It indicates towards something. So Allah is saying in these three things, they are certainly indicators, they are certainly pointers. But then Allah qualifies it and says it's only for a certain type of people. What are the certain type of people? The for the possessors of al-bab. So what is al-bab? Al-bab comes from the word lub. Lub means the core or the kernel or the essence of something. When you get the matter completely, the core, the kernel, the essence of something. Another way you can translate lub is aqlun salim. Aqlun salim means that he has aql, he has a mind that is salih or salim. It is clean and pure, free of clutter. Now what we have is we don't have aqlun salim, because our minds are cluttered. Our minds are cluttered. What do I mean by that? There has been no people in the history of humanity that have more images in their mind than us. No people. Just think about you living in a desert in Mauritania. How many images do you have in your mind? Now think about us. How many images have you seen? Our minds are so cluttered, are so full. And when your mind becomes so cluttered, you can't distinguish anymore. You can't distinguish what's real and unreal. So it all becomes one big blur. And people live in the real world and fantasy world, they can't discern anymore. So all they're saying is a group of people who can discern, whose minds are uncluttered, who can see clearly, they are the Ulul Albab. They get, what do they get? They get the core of the matter. They get the heart of the matter. These people get the heart. And when these people are mentioned, you don't have to mention many signs. When these people are mentioned, Allah doesn't have to mention many signs about the sea and the wind and all those things. Allah can mention three, and it's enough. It's enough. That's the one thing. The second thing is that I believe that we are people who are disconnected from the ayat of Allah. Completely disconnected. Like we don't appreciate it anymore. We are connected with human construction. Like we look at our phone and like, wow, look at brightness on here. Look how bright the screen is. But if you look in the heavens, it's pretty bright as well. And it's an amazing thing, I mean, just to think that this entire world becomes totally dark and then totally bright. It's actually an amazing thing. Just to think that this is because of the rotation of the Earth's axis and the revolving around the sun and this perfect balance. How does this perfect balance work? Like, for instance, if you did physics in school, you learned that two bodies of mass, what happens between them? There's attraction. When you have two bodies of mass, there's attraction. So that's how they explain gravity. What's keeping you down? Why aren't you flying? Because there's attraction. So how do you have all these huge bodies of mass in space, but they don't become closer and closer and closer and join? How do they keep this perfect balance all the time? It's amazing. Because actually it's balls in space. Nothing is like holding them in space, it's just they're all running in their course. So these are the difficulty we have is that we're impressed with, we don't look up anymore. Everything, if I check salat times, I don't suppose check salat times. Allah would give you a calendar. Allah says, look up. Look when the dawn is breaking. Look when the sun is at its zenith and coming down. Look when your shadow is the distance of the stick. Look when we're supposed to look up. But what do? Salat times are closer. Cape Town. Muslim pro. It's a problem. I'm not saying it's a problem, I'm saying that the net effect of all these things. When comes the time of the month calendar, Alhamdulillah, you know, we have the monkeys are amazing. Cape Town, the monkeys, these are amazing people. Because they've kept the Ummah connected to the to the cosmic events. But now even our calendars are on our phones. So what happens is we become a people always looking at the screen, looking down. A people looking down. We no longer look up and appreciate things. Even our food, there's total disconnection. Where do you find your chicken from? You know, if you must give a man today, I've seen men cry. I should be in the scouts. And then we have this one camp called the Backwoods Camp, the Survivor Camp. And then they give you a live chicken for supper. Because a knife, it's not pots and pans. They give you a live chicken and they give you a knife and say, here's your supper. And I've seen 16, 17 old boys cry to see the chicken die. And some guys can't even cut the chicken because, you know, I can't kill them. So even our food, we disconnected from our food because our food comes down in a nice pre-packed chicken breast or chops, lamb chops. We disconnected from real life. We're living at this crazy convenience life. And we can't appreciate Allah's ayat. So one of the things that, for me, one of the teachings of this first verse is that when your mind is full of clutter and then you try to add some ayat, it doesn't really make a big difference. It's almost like you have a nice, custistas, some verses, milk dot, the whole mirror, it's all laid out. And you say, no, this is unhealthy. Just give me 1 or 2 carrots here. I'll have my sister and my carrot. You're not going to become healthy. You understand? There needs to be a decluttering of the mind. A decluttering of the heart also. So one of the lessons of this is that to be the people of Lub, the Ulul Albab are not the distracted people. The Ulul Albab are not the people who are constantly preoccupied. The Ulul Albab are not the people whose mind and hearts go in 1,000 places. It's problematic. We need to become people who are, our minds must become clear. How do we clear our minds? By clearing and simplifying the gateways. Gateways. Switching our phone off for 3 hours a day. This is one of the worst this thing. It's convenient, but one of the worst things. This thing will ruin your spiritual life. Will ruin your spiritual life. Because it can take your heart up and down all the time, distract you all the time, it's problematic. You need to become people as i'tikaf is a freeing of yourself of all of this clutter. So one lesson inshallah for all of us after Ramadan especially is declutter your life. And my number one thing for me, declutter your life from all screens. Screens are not real life. We have a generation of young people, I work with the young people. We have a generation of young people spending 4-5 hours a day on the screen. Whether it's PS2 or whether it's Facebook or whether it's WhatsApp or Instagram or Snapchat or anything else. They are living their life through a box. And this is not real life. And they become more and more immersed in this and they sit like this all the time. And what happens is that it actually affects the entire, you can actually brain damage someone. Because when you are playing high entertainment games for 4 or 5 hours, you know the games are amazing nowadays. And how are you actually too scared to play a game because you know, I like it too much? Because I used to love games when I was young, playing Warcraft and all this Command and Conquer back in the day. I used to love games. And I'm scared to play a game now because the games are so good. And the problem is you can get so immersed in these games and these series and stuff, when you disconnect, real life seems so slow. Could you come to the master plan? Because you're used to all this high action. It's almost like all life is becoming slow motion. You understand? It's like, because you're used to all this flashing and entertainment and bombs and things happening, and you're used to dating 4 or 5 hours, 3 or 4 hours, or even the movie series are becoming better. It becomes better and better all the time. You have to watch Superman now from 1960, it looks like terrible. How can they make such a thing like that? You understand? So the entertainment is becoming so much better that the real life becomes more and more dull. So give me more entertainment because I can't deal with the real life. And it's scary because you stop becoming a human being. You just become this mindless consumer because you just sit back and you're living your life behind a screen. So the Ulul Albab can never be people of screens. Really. Alladhina. So Alladhina means those who. When we say those who, we must be referring to somebody. So who are we referring to? Ulul Albab. So Allah wants to now take us now and say, only the Ulul Albab can see the signs. No one else can see the signs. No one else can see the signs. And even if I can't digress too much, not much time, but even I could say even modern science, one of the problems of modern science is that they study the object without seeing the signs. They study the object without seeing the signs. It's almost like going to a sign that says Tehman al Mosque. And you look at it and see what type of sign is this? What kind of paint is this? When was this made? What material is the board? What color is this exactly? And they'll be expert on the sign, but they won't be able to say, oh, it says you must go this way. You understand? And that's one of the problems of specialization. I'm not a very big university fan. I was at university as well, but so I have license to criticize. But part of our education system, university, is a specialist is someone who knows a lot about the little. The specialist is someone who knows a whole lot about very little. If you want your PhD, it means you're going to know a whole lot about one small thing and never get the bigger picture. It's a problematic approach. You have no broad, no breadth in knowledge. It's just like focus, focus, focus. It's very problematic. Al-Narina, those who are the Ulul Albab, those who يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقْعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So the sentence ends there. When I mean a sentence ends there, ayat and sentence are two different things, inshallah. We'll discuss in Arabic class, inshallah. But the sentence ends after أرض. So again, for the Arabic students, how many verbs do you see before أرض? How many verbs? How many verbs do you see? Some one, some two, some three. Good. Yadhkuruna. Dhakara yadhkuru first verb. Good. What's the second verb you see? Yatafakkaruna. Which verb is Allah? يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Fourth, second, eighth. The month of Tawbah also. تَفَكَّرُ يَتَفَكَّرُ فَسْبَ فَبَّ. So we have two verbs here. The Ulul Albab are people who do two things. Okay, so in this verse here, until أرض, that's where the sentence ends. The verse ends first, but the sentence ends there. Is that these Ulul Albab, they do two things. What are the two things they do? يَذْكُرُونَ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So let's go through both of those things. الَّذِينَ those who يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ يَذْكُرُونَ they remember Allah. Or they mention Allah. I mentioned before, you can only remember something that you know already. You can only remember something that you know already. We, as human beings, we know Allah from the moment we are born. We know Allah from the moment we are born. It's called fitrah. We are born to know Allah. And we actually forget about Allah. We learn to forget about Allah. But we are made to remember Allah. Those who يَذْكُرُونَ they remember Allah. When do they remember Allah? How do they remember Him? قِيَامًا. قِيَامًا means standing. وَقُعُودًا. And قُعُودًا means sitting. وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ And upon the junub, your jump is your side of your body, the side of you. Tul is junub. Junub is your sides. Junubihim, their sides. So the ulama speak about this, they said that on one level you could say it's qiyaman and qu'udan, maybe some prepositions. But on a deeper level, or more specifically, what's the fourth position that you are in normally? You're standing or you're sitting, you're lying down. What's the fourth position? There is no fourth. You are either standing, you're either upright, or you're down on the ground, or you're flat down. That's generally the only position you're going to exist in. So the people of loop, the people of understanding, they are in dhikr in every single moment. Every single moment. Their dhikr doesn't end. How can someone's dhikr not end? Because they've been reminded all the time. How can you forget to remember Allah if the sign is so clear? Because I look at myself and I see a sign. I look at the tree, I see a sign. I look at this light, I see a sign. I look in the ayah of the Quran, is a different sign. Also ayah, sign. The people, really they are people. They are people, the awliya of this world. For them Allah is more real than these walls. Allah is more real than these walls. They don't have to be reminded. I'll give you a good tafsir, beautiful tafsir of Fakhr ibn al-Razi, rahimahullah. He speaks about قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ He was, هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ There are people that need to be told that Allah is one. They must employ all three words. هُوَ He, Allah is one. Because some people have, they believe in multiple gods, no gods. There are people to be told that He is one. Then there's people who believe He is one, but they must be reminded who Allah. He is Allah. He is Allah. He is Allah. You forgot again? He is Allah. And then there's the third group of people, they only huwa. Because wherever they look, huwa. 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 What do they see? Huwa means he. This is called Wahdatu Shuhud. Not Wahdatu Wujud, Wahdatu Shuhud. Shuhud means to witness. There are people that are at such a level, wherever, they don't have to remind that He is Allah. Wherever they see Allah's sign. They look at the man, they say, Huwa, I can see Allah. The tree, Allah. The sky, Allah. Themselves, Allah. Huwa, Huwa, Huwa. This is a group of people. He brings us to As-Sabiqun, As-Sabiqun. And who Allah? Ashabul Yameen. And the people with the Tadis Ahad? Ashabul Shimar. Ashabul Shimar. So there are people that yadhkurun Allah al Qiyamah. What's the opposite of dhikr? What's the opposite of dhikr? In Arabic, ghafla. What is ghafla translated to English? Unmindful, heedless, forgetful. Our lives, the biggest problem in our life is ghafla. Ghafla. We can go for hours and hours in Qasr. We are people who are in ghafla all the time except for a few moments. We are people who are in ghafla for long stretches of time except for a few moments. There are people who are in ghafla for weeks. There's no serious thought and feeling about Allah. One of the diseases of this age is ghafla. Unaware of Allah. The opposite of ghafla is dhikr. Remember, being reminded all the time. They remember Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim wa yatafakkarun. What's yatafakkarun, Dr. Tess? Dhikr. Yatafakkarun. What does it mean? To think. No, Now let's ask two questions. Yatafakkarun means think. Yadhkurun means remember. What do you remember with? Where is the location of dhikr? The ulama all agree, the location of dhikr is in your qalb, in your heart. The remembrance is not on your tongue. It's not something that you in your mind. Like for example, if I wake someone up or I see someone, I say, is Allah one? He says, yes. That's not dhikr. That's just an affirmation of my belief. Dhikr means, is your heart alive with the remembrance of Allah? Is your heart alive with the remembrance of Allah? That's dhikr. So what I'm saying, dhikr is a qalb experience. You with me? Dhikr is a qalb experience. Therefore you can make dhikr like muraqabah without your tongue. Because the dhikr is in the heart. And you can make it with your tongue, with your body, doesn't matter, but the dhikr location is in your heart. Now it's going to yatafakkarun. Where is the location of yatafakkarun, of thinking? Mind. To think is a mental activity. So the ul albab, they combine what? They combine an intellectual heritage tradition with a spiritual heritage tradition and they put it together. This is very important. Because in this moment in Islam, we have this division between the two. You have the intellectuals. We talk about intellectual Islam. But intellectual Islam is incomplete Islam. You can't have an Islam only of theory. Even I believe sometimes there's too much emphasis on fiqh. Because fiqh is rules, the study of rules. And you have to have the rules. But it's also a spiritual tradition as well. Because if Islam is only Arkan al-Iman, Arkan al-Islam, Allah's sifat is this, the rules for du'a are these. If it's only a lot of information, it's only a tafakkaruna. It's not yadhkuruna. And ulama must have both. On the other hand, you can get people who are only involved in dhikr and not learning. You have to bring both together. Even the program at this i'tikaf tries to bring both together. We have moments of dhikr and qiyam, and we have moments of durus and ilm. Because the ul albab are people who, their hearts are alive with dhikr, and they tafakkaruna, and they are applying their mind, they are thinking. They are bringing the intellectual tradition of Islam, which is very rich and deep. They are bringing it, and they are applying it fi khalqi samawati wal ard, in the creation of the heavens, the earth. So not only an ayah of the heart, it's ayah of the mind. And when the ayah of the heart and the ayah of the mind come together, they express, they are forced to express something which is Rabbana. And Rabbana means what? Rabbana actually comes from the word Ya Rabbana. Ya Rabbana means what? Oh my Lord. Sometimes in the Quran Allah drops off the Ya. Why? Because it's more intense. They don't have time to say, yeah. They are so overwhelmed, they say, Rabbana, Ya Allah, my Lord. Why? Because their heart is overwhelmed and their mind is overwhelmed. And this is what the Quran does for you. This is what the Quran does for you. And every student of the Quran will know that after you get to know the Quran. The Quran addresses your mind and says, think, change your worldview. But the Quran does something else as well. You study in Salah. You study in Salah, and you know what the ayah means. It's not a new idea, it's an old idea. But then something happens to your heart and you start crying in Salah. Why? Not because the idea is new, because the Quran has a direct impact on your heart as well. Beyond your mind. So the Quran is a unique book in the sense that it's a book of the mind and a book of the heart at the same time. And when these two things come together, it overwhelms the individual, the person of clarity of mind. And he says, Rabbana, O my Master, O my Lord, ma khalaqta hadha batila. Ma, you did not create khalaqta hadha. All of this that I see around me, you didn't create it batila without any point. You didn't create this thing to be pointless. We take the world as a pointless thing, we use things and throw it away. You didn't create this point without any purpose. You created everything around you with a purpose. It's all an ayah of you. Subhanak. How perfect you are. How amazing you are. How above all of this you are. Subhanak. Faqina. And the Ulul Albab now speak about something else. Faqina. The three words. Fa plus qi plus na. Fa. So. Qi. Save. Na. Us. So save us. Adab al-Nar. From the adab, the punishment of al-Nar of the Hellfire. What are the Ulul Albab thinking about now? They're thinking about consequence. They're thinking about consequence. One of the qualities of a child, they have a child. The younger they are, the less they are able to think about consequence. A child cannot fathom delayed consequence. What do I mean? When a child is 2 years old or 1 year old, you try and feed the child. If you take too long for the spoon to reach the mouth, they can see the spoon, it's coming. But if it takes too long, they will cry. Because they can't fathom that I must wait for the spoon to enter my mouth. And then when the child gets a bit bigger, you say, okay, you can have your chocolate after your meal. No, I want it now. I can't wait. Because a child cannot fathom delayed consequence. And it is amazing stat. They say that out of 9 people who have a heart attack, the doctor tells you, listen here, you had a heart attack. You must change your diet. Otherwise you're going to die. Out of the 9, only 1 changes the diet. We have a cardiologist here, maybe. People don't. You tell people, listen, you have diabetes, you must change your life. Start exercising, eating healthy. You're going to die. They cannot even say, okay, I'm going to die if I don't eat this kusista. The kusista is too powerful for death. I mean, how can the kusista beat death? But it beats death, why? Because death is a delayed pain and the kusista is immediate pleasure. You understand? So they always go for the immediate pleasure. That's how nafs is. Pleasure, 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 pleasure. Later on I'll deal with the consequence. But the Ulul Albab, they look around on all of the signs and they say, listen to these signs and ayah, there's Allah, there's consequence to my life. There's consequence to all of this. Ya Allah, qina adab al-nar, save us from the punishment of the hellfire. They have this insight, they have consequence. So I want to end and say, we must distinguish between people being intelligent and clever and people by being wise. People being wise. People of wisdom get the picture. They have loop, they have understanding. Don't confuse it with people of cleverness. People are able to work out things quickly. That's not actually true wisdom. That's just some good processor. That's all it is. Maybe with good hard drive. That's it. There are people who have wisdom, hikmah. And if you want hikmah in this life, the place to start is the Quran. If you want wisdom, and I've seen myself, alhamdulillah, I have the great favor and blessing of teaching Quran to many young people. And I have seen young people that have more wisdom than their parents. Really. I have seen 18-year-olds with more wisdom than their parents. Their parents tell them, how can you study Quran in the university? You're falling behind. But mommy, I want to study the Quran. It's not uncommon, this happens every year, too many times. And when you cite the Quran, you realize there's something there. It gives you something special. It gives you insight and nothing else will give you insight. So I'll just read the verse again, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. إن شاء الله مشيت بكم يوم تاتي بمراز الاعتكاف إن شاء الله. Spend maybe tonight, إذا قيام ولا tonight إن شاء الله. Spend tonight memorizing these two verses إن شاء الله. Just aim to memorize all these verses by the end of this of this etiquette, inshallah. May Allah give us the nur and understanding and insight of all these verses. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam.